Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 87, White Privilege, Slavery, and Capitalism. Oh boy, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
All right, free market squad in the place to be. It's your boy, Nathan Fraser. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. And I'm telling you right off the bat, I already know I'm going to lose some listeners with this episode. And that's okay. I'm okay with that because I don't care about my podcast download statistics, apparently. I also am doing this as a Facebook Live video. So apparently I don't care about losing Facebook friends either. Surprise, surprise. So what are we going to be talking about this week? We're going to be talking about white privilege, slavery, and capitalism. And like I said, this is going to rub some people the wrong way. And I'm going to actually cover them in reverse order. So I'm going to cover capitalism, then slavery, and then white privilege. And hopefully, if you make it all the way through, you won't hate me. But if you do, I'm okay with that as well. So Here's the deal. The reason that this whole thing came up is a couple of days ago, I got into a Facebook argument with somebody. I wouldn't really call it an argument. It was like a back and forth for two or three comments. Usually if somebody posts something and then I disagree with it or I add my two cents and then it turns into a, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. I might give them one or two responses and then I get bored. And it's been my experience that fighting with people or arguing with people on Facebook is a waste of time. So I don't typically give it that much energy, but somebody in one of the groups that I'm in, somebody posted, defend capitalism in five words. And so I did. I said, born into poverty, escaped it. Simple. Born into poverty, escaped it. That was my reply. And their reply to it was, well, just because you escaped poverty doesn't mean that everybody gets to. Therefore, socialism is better than capitalism. And I just had to roll my eyes, mainly because that sounded like teenage version of me. And when I say that, so here's my background. This, for those of you that don't know this about me, we actually grew up dirt poor. We grew up on welfare, on Section 8. Mom was a single mother for most of the time because my dad was in and out of prison. And, we grew up on food stamps, Section 8, public housing, hand-me-down clothes, four kids, one single mother and one father in prison, and, not a lot of money to go around. So we grew up dirt poor. And thus being the case, I was very much liberal, socialist minded in my worldviews. And I felt very entitled. I felt like the world owed me something. I mean, I was trained to think this by the Democrats and the liberals that were around us, that the rich people are rich because they exploit the poor and they owe it to us to take care of us because they only get rich because they exploit our hard work and blah, 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 all that same old garbage that you hear repeated by people that have never owned a business and have no idea what they're actually talking about. But my sense of entitlement up until my mid-20s actually kept me poor. My sense of the fact that I thought that I should be taken care of, that I deserved to be taken care of by society, that somebody should come and save me and take care of me and provide for me, that mindset actually kept me from ever getting to the point in life where I actually was taking care of myself and doing things for myself. And keeping that mindset really prevented me from hitting my true potential until way later on in life. And I wish that I would have been able to shake that mindset earlier, but I wasn't. But anyway, so sometimes when I get into these arguments with people, I feel like I'm arguing with like 15-year-old version of me. And a 15-year-old version of me didn't really listen to reason. So I find that it's not usually the best, most productive use of my time to argue with these people that are in this mindset. But like I said, it wasn't until I stopped seeing myself as a victim and finally started making strides in life that my mindset started to kind of change. And here's one thing that kind of dawned on me and really helped me change the way that I viewed the world was realizing that people with a hero complex, like you see a lot of the liberal left, they've got this hero complex. Like, they're there to save the minorities. They're there to help the downtrodden. They're there to stick up for the women. They're there to stick up for the poor. People that have that hero complex, they need you to see yourself as a victim in order for them to see themselves as a hero. If you don't continually view yourself as a victim, if you don't continue living the life of a victim, they lose their hero complex. They lose their sense of self-worth. So they need you stuck on welfare. They need you stuck seeing yourself as a victim. They need you to be stuck in a mindset that keeps you from actually trying. If you think that there's a systemic racist government or economic system or systemic system that favors the rich over the poor, and you'll never be able to work your way out of it or attain the things in life that you want to attain without them there to help lift you up, you're never going to try. And if you never try, then those people get to keep power over you. They get to keep that feeling of superiority over you. They get to keep their hero complex. They need you stuck on welfare. It's like, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but there was an episode of The Simpsons that was, this was years and years ago, but The Simpsons all got sick and Mo had to come in and take care of them because even Marge was sick. They all got the flu and Marge couldn't take care of them. None of the family could take care of each other. So Mo, the guy from the bar, came and started taking care of them. Well, he started feeling really important. He started feeling loved. He felt appreciated. And when the Simpsons started to feel better, when they started getting over the flu, Mo realized that without them being sick, without them being downtrodden, he wasn't important anymore. So what did he do? He started poisoning the Simpsons and he kept them sick. He kept them dependent on him. And that's kind of what people on the left tend to do to minorities, tend to do to women, tend to do to poor people, is they keep them seeing themselves as victims. They keep them down so that they can view themselves, the liberal elite, as heroes, the people that are sticking up for the little guy. And so just something to keep in mind, and this is something that really was a mindset shift for me. When somebody's constantly reminding you of your own victim status, when they're constantly reminding you of how the world is keeping you down, how the powers that be are holding you down, how the patriarchy is holding you down, how systemic racism is holding you down, when somebody's constantly beating you over the head with that narrative, constantly reminding you that you're a victim, that person is your enemy. That person is not there to help you. That person is there to step on you and elevate themselves above you so that they can feel good about themselves. So this person said, just because you were able to pull yourself out of poverty doesn't mean that capitalism is a good thing, because a lot of other people aren't able to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And basically my response to that was, so just because some people don't take advantages of the opportunities provided by capitalism, nobody should get those advantages? And that's when it turned from capitalism to a conversation about slavery, because then the guy started saying, well, capitalism only provides you that opportunity because this system was built off of slavery. And if it wasn't for systemic racism and slavery, then capitalism would have never even flourished in the first place. And so now I'm moving from capitalism into slavery. Now, like I said, I'm going to lose some people with this one. I already know I'm going to lose some listeners. I'm going to lose some viewers. And I'm okay with that, because speaking truth sometimes loses friends, and that's okay with me. So here's the deal. People like to blame capitalism's success on slavery. They like to say, well, capitalism was built on slavery, and the Western culture was built on slavery. Western civilization was built on slavery. Here's the deal. Slavery existed before capitalism did. Slavery existed before Western civilization did. Slavery existed in almost every single culture in the world before Western civilization came around, before free market capitalism came around. Newsflash, black people haven't been the only slaves. White people have been slaves too. Asian people have been slaves too. Actually, the word slave comes from Slavic, Yugoslavia, I want to say, from that area of the world, Europeans. Slavics were the first, like, main international, and it was actually Muslims that were the first or the most prevalent at the time international slave traders. And so it hasn't always been white people oppressing black people and making black people slaves. Black people, and in fact, and here's the other thing, in America, only a small percent, I think like 3% of Southern people owned slaves, of Southern white people owned slaves. So it wasn't even like a widespread thing in America to own slaves. It was only a small percentage of people. And this is something that's not taught to you in history class, but easily verified. Black people also owned slaves in America. It wasn't just white people that enslaved black people. Black people enslaved black people here in America. And unlike what Roots teaches you, the truth of the matter was most of the slaves that came to America were actually already slaves in Africa before they came to America or before they were imported to Europe. Most of the slaves that were slaves here were slaves before they came over here, and they were slaves to black people. And that's the thing. Well, let's see here. Most cultures had slavery. I'm going to say this though. Slavery in the South in America was some of the worst slavery. It was some of the most disgusting slavery. It was, they treated people a lot worse than other slaves were treated historically. And that's because historically we didn't have international slave trade. You made slaves out of the people in your own area. So if you were Greek, you had Greek slaves. If you were African, you had African slaves. If you were Egyptian, you tended to have Egyptian slaves. If you were Nordic, you tended to have Nordic slaves. So because you could see yourself in the other people, because the other people looked like you, it probably made it a lot harder to be as brutal as some of the slavery that happened here in America when we started importing slaves that didn't look like us, though, you know, the white slave owner with the black slave. It was easier to dehumanize that person and treat them a lot worse than traditionally slaves were treated. So yes, American slavery was some of the most brutal, some of the most disgusting, vile treatment of other human beings. But the fact is it wasn't where slavery originated from. And it wasn't, and even till up until today, there's still slavery. There's still Muslim slave trading going on. There's still slavery in Africa that goes on. If you look at like the blood diamonds and all the all that stuff that goes on where warlords go into tribal communities and just kidnap kids at like 8 through 14 years old and turn those kids into slaves. Slavery still happens to this day, but it doesn't happen in America and it doesn't happen in the West, because even though the West didn't start slavery, even though Western civilization and capitalist cultures didn't create slavery, they sure as fuck are the culture that ended slavery. Up until throughout all of human history, is at least as much as we can record, throughout all of human history, there was slavery until we had things like the Magna Carta and until we had things like the Declaration of Independence. And then once capitalism and once Western civilization started saying, well, hey, all human beings should be treated equally, now we had something that we had to deal with. Now we had, well, shit, we say God created all people equally. We say that all men are endowed by their creator with individual rights, but we're not really applying that to these people we call slaves. And now all of a sudden we have to question it. Up until that point, no culture questioned slavery. Now all of a sudden Western civilization, Western culture and capitalism, free market capitalism, says, hey, people have rights. People are individuals and they have rights. And that doesn't mesh with this tradition that pretty much every culture before Western civilization came along, pretty much every culture embraced slavery. And now all of a sudden we've got this culture that says, hey, people have individual rights. And that doesn't work well with this idea of slavery. So the Magna Carta comes along, the Declaration of Independence comes along. And now all of a sudden you've got a bunch of people that built a country based off of individual rights, And now they have to say, well, what are we going to do with this slavery? Because this has been like a huge part of humanity up until now, but it doesn't coincide with this new idea of freedom. And so we had to have this battle. And in this country, we went to war. Like, we mass murdered a bunch of our own population to end slavery. And in other parts of Western civilization, they didn't have to go to war. They just slowly phased it out. But the fact is slavery wasn't invented by capitalism. Slavery wasn't invented by the free market. Slavery was not invented by Western civilization, but it was ended by Western civilization. It was ended by capitalism. So slavery did not build capitalism. Slavery was actually dismantled by capitalism. So fast forward to today. And actually, before we fast forward, it's so weird because capitalism and Western civilization are the only reason that slavery actually ended. Yet, if you talk to a lot of these leftist college professors and a lot of these teenagers coming out of these colleges, they think that the root of all evil when it comes to capitalism is based off of its involvement with slavery. They've got like the exact opposite picture of reality of what actually happened. And it's just kind of depressing how brainwashed a lot of these people are. So fast forward to white privilege and being constantly told that I'm a recipient of white privilege. Oh, this one bothers me so bad. So again, like I said, we grew up dirt poor and I never felt privileged because of my skin color. I never felt like, oh, well, thank God I'm white because this would really suck if I was living in this situation and I was black. Because here's the deal. In most of the neighborhoods that I grew up in, being white was not an advantage. Being white was a disadvantage. Growing up in neighborhoods where almost everybody's black and almost everybody's Mexican, and you're like the only white kid in the neighborhood, not always a position of privilege, let me tell you that. I always had to prove myself more than other kids did because I was the honky. I always had to go above and beyond to prove that I was tough. I always had to go above and beyond to prove that I was down, that I wasn't a snitch, that I wasn't whatever the case may be. I definitely was the recipient of racism in a lot of the neighborhoods that I grew up in. People say, white privilege is not ever having to deal with poverty. Bullshit. We went hungry lots of nights. We went without Christmas lots of years. We, from 13 till 15, we didn't have a house. We lived out the back of a pickup truck and we bounced from campground to campground to motel room to campground. So this mindset that if you're white, you never have to, you never know what poverty is, that's bullshit. We absolutely knew what poverty was growing up as kids. This other thing that I always hear that just fucking pisses me off when people say, well, white privilege is getting pulled over by the cops and not having to fear for your life. Another fucking bullshit. I can't tell you twice. Twice I've had my life threatened, guns pointed at me by cops when I've been pulled over. So not fearing for my life when a cop pulls me over just because of my skin color, absolute bullshit. Not going to court. I've plenty of white friends that have done long stints in prison. I've been to jail multiple times, never been to prison because I've been just a little bit smarter than the legal system. But the fact of the matter is I've been to jail plenty of times. I've never been able to go to the judge and be like, Your Honor, I'm white. Can I use my white privilege card to get out of this? Absolutely not. You're going to jail, buddy. So I've never been treated by the law better or by law enforcement or by judges or the judicial system better because of my skin color. And in fact, and here's one of the things that really made me question the idea of white privilege when I was a teenager. So I used to have this buddy named Steve and I've probably talked to him. He made a huge impact on me. Really like rearranged the way that I thought about a lot of stuff as a kid. Cause he was a black guy. He was conservative. He came from a very wealthy family. He lived here in Fort Collins. I worked with him at Sonic Drive-In and, he was going to CSU. He went to CSU here in the town that we live in. And, one night I was hanging out with him. He always was like, He might have been a little bit on the fruity side, but always super clean cut, dressed very, very nicely, like Carlton out of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, that's the closest thing that I could say to judging physically what this guy looked like. Was always very well-dressed, very much into presenting a very good appearance. And me, I'm a thug. I mean, look at me. I'm a thug. saggy clothes, baggy pants, tall t-shirt, wearing a baseball cap, covered in tattoos. I don't think I was covered in tattoos at the time. But one night, me and him were hanging out. It was outside a club that used to be called Odyssey here in town. And me and him were hanging out, and the cops roll up on us. And he's dressed all nice, clean cut, and I'm dressed like a thug, and we're just hanging out, talking. And I don't know if we were working that night or if we were just chilling, but the cops walk up to us. And this was the strangest thing ever, and it really, like, rearranged the way I think of things. The cops walk up to us, and they look at Steve, and then they look at me, and then they look back at Steve, and they ask him, "Is this guy bothering you?" They ask the black kid if the white kid is bothering him, based solely on the fact that Steve was dressed like upper class, very respectable, tax-paying citizen, and I was dressed like a thug. They looked at him. He was black. They looked at me. I was white. And they looked back at him and asked him, "Is this guy bothering you?" So that really messed with my head as a kid, I'll tell you what. But it also drilled home the fact that appearance matters, and skin color is not the only thing that determines your appearance. How you present yourself, how you hold yourself, what kind of clothes you wear, whether you're covered in tattoos or whether you're wearing a button-up shirt with a tie. All of that stuff matters because people make snap judgments off of you. So if you're black and you dress like a thug, you're going to get one type of treatment. If you're black and you dress like a respectable tax-paying citizen, you're going to get a different type of treatment. It has nothing to do, or maybe it has a little bit to do with skin color, but in that situation, the white guy was perceived as the threat, and the cop was there to defend the black guy. So does that mean, and that's anecdotal, I get that. Is that always the case? Probably not. Does racism still exist? Absolutely, racism still exists. But like I said, being white doesn't exclude you from being discriminated against. And in fact, and this is going to ruffle some feathers, whatever the case may be. Racism against white people is really the only socially acceptable form of racism left in the West. And people can say, "Oh, racism is power plus privilege." Okay, well, I'm going to put that aside for a second and just say this. You can have scholarships handed out specifically for black people. You can have scholarships for Native Americans. You can have scholarships that only go to Latinos. But if you say, "Hey, this scholarship only goes to white people," I don't think that's going to fly. So it's totally legal to discriminate against white people in a way that it's not legal to discriminate against anybody else. Same thing. Like I said, we grew up in Los Angeles. We grew up in a lot of big cities. My whole family's Mexican. Well, most of my family's Mexican. Brown pride shirts, all the rage when I was growing up. It was awesome to wear a brown pride shirt. I self-identified as a Mexican for most of my life, so I even owned a couple of brown pride shirts, even though I'm pink as fuck. Black pride shirts, had a lot of friends that black power shirts, raised black fists, totally socially acceptable. Don't you dare wear a shirt that says white pride. Don't you dare wear a shirt that says white power, because that is not acceptable at all. It's the only race you're allowed to discriminate. And I mean, you can exclude white people from jobs, even if they're more qualified, just based off of their skin color. You can say, "I'm not going to hire that guy because he's white and I don't want another white person." Try saying that. I mean, it's been recently, there's been multiple instances in the news where people have ran advertisements for an employment position and said, "Anybody can apply except for white men." So it's really, that's the only people it's legally allowed, you're legally allowed to discriminate against. And I'm not like one of those white genocide people. I really could care less. My personal opinion is, if you want to run a business and you don't want to hire people that are white, I really could care less. I probably wouldn't want to work for you anyways. It's your business. You have the right to hire anybody that you want or not hire anybody that you want based off whatever stupid reason. I think it's stupid to even care about somebody's skin color when making a hiring decision. But if you want to run your business that way, I'm not going to cry about it. I'll make my own business. But here's the deal. If you're dealing with a racist cop, if you've got white skin, it's probably going to help you out. I'm not going to lie about that. But if you're dealing with like a racist SJW college professor, having white skin is going to have the exact opposite effect. You're going to be demonized because you're white. So does whiteness give you privilege? In some instances, yes. Does blackness give you privilege? In some instances, yes. Does having a penis give you privilege? In some instances, yes. Does having a vagina give you privilege? In some instances, yes. Is there a such thing as white privilege? Yeah. But is there a such thing as black privilege? Absolutely. In a lot of the neighborhoods that I grew up in, if you were black, you could get some of the hottest white chicks to date you. A lot of the white chicks wouldn't date white guys. Black privilege, right there. If you want to get a scholarship, or you want to get into school, but you don't have the same type of accreditation that somebody else does having, because of liberal lowered standards for, you know, and this is one of the things that B says, now you're pissing me off. One of the things that really pisses me off about liberals is when they do lower standards for people, when they say, well, for men, we're going to have this standard, for women, we're going to lower it down here, as if, at the same time that they want to say women are equal to men, but we have to lower the standards for them, or white people are equal to black people, but for black people, we're going to lower the admission standards for getting into college. I've never been a fan of that, because I've known a lot of black people, and I can't say that on average they were any less intelligent than white people. And I can't say on average that they needed to have the standards lowered for them. In my opinion, lowering standards for people because they're black is kind of insulting, and it's not consistent with what I know about black people. So I don't know. Side tangent, pissed me off, but that's the deal. So is whiteness a privilege? Not universally. When it comes to income, people say, well, if you look at the income, white people definitely are privileged when it comes to income. But here's the deal. In America, at least, Asians have way better privilege and way more power when it comes to income. A lot of immigrants do. A lot of immigrants that come to this country from other countries, when they come here, they work their ass off. They focus on their dreams. They do exactly what they want to do, because it's the first time that they've actually had freedom to do what they want to do. They save up their money. They bring their families in, and they end up building a business. I can't tell you how many people that I knew when we were growing up that were immigrants from other countries that started in poverty, and before their kids were even adults, or before their kids were even grown up, they had moved out of poverty. They had moved out of the poverty situation because their parents immigrated here from another country, busted their ass, started their own business. And by the time I was a teenager, we were still poor. But by the time they were teenagers, their parents had built up a thriving business and moved them out of poverty. A lot of times, and this was especially true in California with Asians. California has a lot of Asian immigrants. The Asians, they would come here, they would start their own restaurant, they'd start their own shoe shining business, or whatever the case they would be. They'd tell their kids, you got to focus on studying. You need to do very well in school. You need to study, study, study. We'd be like, hey, you want to go skateboard? You want to go cause trouble? And a lot of times the Asian kids, their parents would be like, nope, they're staying home. They got to study. They're not hanging out with you hooligans getting into trouble. Oh, hell no. And so me and the Mexican kids and the black kids, we'd go out and we'd be doing stuff that I'm not going to talk about on the podcast. And a lot of the Asian kids would be stuck at home studying. But what did that mean? That meant that they got higher grades. That meant that they got into college. That meant that they got better degrees. And when they graduated, they had more privilege than I did. So, yeah, they came here, they work, they study, they save, they build their own businesses. And most of the time, they surpass the wealth of the people that were born here. And it's because they realize what the real privilege is. It's not white privilege. It's not male privilege. The real privilege that exists in America is freedom privilege. Freedom is what lets you choose your own path. Freedom, the individual freedom that this culture is built upon, is what lets people from the ghetto pursue sports or pursue music and become millionaires. And I'm not saying that to be racist, because my very first step into entrepreneurship, I grew up in the ghetto. My very first step into entrepreneurship was starting a record label. Me and my brother started our own music label. And that was my very first taste of business ownership. And that was only possible because of capitalism. It was only possible because this culture is built on individual freedom. Freedom is what lets people from another country come here and start their own corner store or start their own restaurant. And within a generation, they can retire wealthy, that they can pass on an abundance of wealth to their children, even if they showed up on our shores with pennies. Freedom goes hand in hand with free market capitalism. Freedom is what gives our country its privilege. Freedom is what gives people in this country privilege. And it applies to everybody who's here, who's willing to respect the freedoms of others. If you go around trampling on the freedoms of others, yeah, you're going to find your freedom stripped away really quickly. But if you respect the freedoms of others, if you respect free market interactions with others, you've got privilege. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is. Being an entrepreneur doesn't require a certain skin color. Right now, I'm writing some sales copy for a lady, a Hispanic lady. She lives in California. She owns more property than I do. She owns like 4 or 5 different properties, and she's super, super wealthy. And being brown never stopped her. Again, I've worked with a lot of people in the music industry. Where I got my start on writing advertisements was in the music industry. 9 times out of 10, the people that were paying me were black people. People that historically, according to the narrative, are systemically oppressed, and yet they were multimillionaires. They were multi-thousandaires, 10,000aires, 100,000aires. They had way more money than me. They started me on my path, and according to the narrative of white privilege, I should have been above them, but I wasn't. I was learning from them. I was learning valuable lessons about entrepreneurship from them. So being an entrepreneur, being successful in this country, doesn't care what color your skin is, doesn't require a certain color of skin. It doesn't require slavery. It does require the free market. It does require capitalism. So freedom and free markets, that's the privilege that we all share. And I'm sick and tired of it being demonized as the enemy. I'm sick and tired of people saying the one thing that gives all of us an actual privilege compared to the rest of the world. I'm sick and tired of people saying that thing is evil, that thing should be demonized, that freedom and capitalism are the enemy. Okay, you're still there. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, however you're listening to this podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to it so that you never miss an episode, because I piss people off all the time. It's kind of what I do. All right, my name is Nathan Fraser. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. I appreciate your half hour that you spent with me this week. I hope I made it worth your while, and check out more at NathanFraserShow.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe. Did I say subscribe? I'm out of here. Deuces.